Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by a thousand shall leave an hundred, and that which went forth by an hundred shall leave ten to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord, unto the house of Israel seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good, and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord, to what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Kiun, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so this first section, I have it as verses 1 through 3. It is a word against them, right? Isn't that what the Lord says? Hear this word which I take up against you. Well, this is the last thing that we want. The last thing that we want is for the Lord to speak against us. We want him to speak to us. We want him to speak for us, not against us. And yet here, because of their continual and habitual refusal to hear, the Lord says to them, I am against you, and I'm speaking against you. And notice what it is. It is even a lamentation. The Hebrew word there means lamentation. It means a dirge. And so it is then that when a people refuse to hear the Lord and the Lord lifts up his voice against them, that he lifts it up as a lamentation. And we have this statement that the virgin of Israel is fallen, she shall no more rise. Now she's called a virgin in remembrance of her relation to the Lord originally, but she's no longer that chaste bride, for she has committed idolatry and gone after other gods. She has fallen from her estate of blessing and favor and has now become the object of God's displeasure. Notice that she is forsaken upon her land. This is a very interesting thing, because we have heard over and again from certain theological quarters that the blessing of Israel was tied up to the land. Notice here it says that she is forsaken upon her land. The land could not be the inheritance. The land was a type of another inheritance, that eternal and heavenly inheritance. And none shall raise her up. And so the picture is that she has been thrown down and abandoned, not to be taken up again. And it speaks of the destruction of the 10 tribes never being reconstituted again as a nation. And finally, we see the devastation, because the Lord will have his tithe, right? I don't know if you caught that in the reading, but it says that you'll go out as 1,000 and you'll come back as 100. You'll go out as 100 and you'll come back as 10. In other words, they had refused to give the Lord his due, but the Lord will have his due. So then in verses 4 through 15, this section is an extended call to repentance, and that repentance is encouraged in several particulars. And as we've said this before, so we repeat it again here, that even though this is a people upon whom the Lord has, if you will, trained the bullseye, they are in his crosshairs, still, in that there is breath and in that there is hearing, there is an opportunity yet for repentance and life. So let us understand that as long as there is breath, there is hope. As long as there is hearing, there is an opportunity for repentance. And so although the Lord has trained his crosshairs of judgment upon them, yet he continues to speak, yet he continues to call for repentance. Notice then the great kindness of the Lord, how far he goes in calling for repentance. So, first of all, he calls them to repentance from the transitory nature of the false gods and false worship, from the Lord's threatening judgment as fire, lest they repent, from the Lord's eternal and mighty power, the Lord's majesty and sovereignty as it manifests in his providence, from his promises of justice and righteousness, and from his promise to be with them when they show themselves a repentant people. In all of these particulars, the Lord calls them to repent. And then this call for repentance also includes convicting them of their sins. They have oppressed the poor and needy. They have been unjust. They have refused correction. They have impugned the messenger. They have added robbery to their oppression. They have taken bribes. And then finally, this call to repentance includes the direction to the right path. So notice, first of all, the Lord calls them to repentance by certain reasons. Reasons pertaining to his own holiness, his own majesty. Second, he calls them to repentance by enumerating their sins. And then third, he calls them to repentance by proclaiming the right path to them. That sounds to me like good pastoral counseling. That's a good outline for pastoral counseling, right? First of all, laying out the reasons. Second of all, laying out the sins. Third of all, laying out the right path. Sounds really good to me. It sounds like a good outline for pastoral counseling. And so finally, this call to repentance includes direction to the right path. Seek ye the Lord, seek the good and not the evil, hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment instead of the oppression that they have been practicing. And then the final word calls for repentance in this section. It may be that the Lord will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And for those who had ears to hear, the use of the name of Joseph here should have been a comfort to them, because Joseph himself was faithful, right? And so in that the Lord would call them the remnant of Joseph, he is recalling the faithfulness of Joseph. And so he is reminding them of their good beginnings. And he gives them a comforting word. All right, then in verses 16 through 20, in this section we see that the whole land is to be taken up in this lamentation. Wailing in the street, not wailing, that's what you do, that's what the Japanese do when they catch whales. Wailing, no H. Wailing, W-A-I-L-I-N-G, in the streets. That is when people cry out for fear and in want and in pain. Even in vineyards. And this is a picture of desperation, because vineyards are generally associated with what? Wine and joy. And so in that there will be wailing in the vineyards, that means those places that you would normally expect to hear the cries of joy, you will hear the sighs of wailing. And then also, I will pass through thee. And when the Lord says, I will pass through thee, what did you hear? I heard Passover night. I heard Exodus chapter 12 when the Lord passed through Egypt. And so the Lord is comparing this people now with Egypt. When the Lord passed through Egypt, and what did he do? Well, over his people he passed over, but with Egypt he passed through. And passing through them, great destruction, right? All of their firstborn died that night. And so the Lord says, I will pass through your land as well. And they ought to hear that as the same kind of threat that Egypt was under. And note finally that that the hope they ought to have, that they should not have any hope should they not repent. Right? That any hope with which they comforted themselves, unless they repent, is a vain and a false hope. And so every place of safety shall not give safety, but judgment. And this is what the prophet means when he says, it's like a guy that's running from a lion and he runs into a bear. Right? Out of the frying pan into the fire kind of thing, you know. And so he goes to where he thinks he's safe in his house after he's running from the lion. And he puts his hand on the wall to ease himself, to rest himself, and lo, he's bit by a snake. Right? In other words, even the places of safety will not be places of safety if you don't repent. That's the point. All right, so then the last section, 21 through 27, we see here the necessity of coming with sincere and not pretended worship, even if according to a commanded form, that of coming with fruits fitting or meet with repentance. And so worship is vain when our hands are filled with violence and oppression, when we harbor wickedness in our hearts, refusing repentance. And we see also the very close association between proper worship and good hearts on the one hand, and false worship and evil hearts on the other. You've heard me say this before, that worship is comprised of two elements, right? Two elements. Proskuneo, which means to hit the knee, which speaks of a right heart attitude, and then Latria, which speaks of the services that God has commanded, those things that we owe unto Him. Now, both of those have to be in place. The right form and the right heart. But let me ask you this question. I've asked you before. Some of you may be hearing it for the first time. But the question is, what is it that a right heart wants? It is, to me, incongruous to say, oh, my heart is full and I want to worship the Lord and my heart, you know, I'm just bursting, and then to go off in the wrong way to worship the Lord, to build up pretended ordinances. Because doesn't the right heart want the right form above all else? Isn't that part of what it means to have a right heart with regard to worship? And so those two elements must be in place in order for worship to be in its in the ordering of it, acceptable to God. Now, all of our works are imperfect and tainted with sin, and so we must have the mediation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But on our side, what is required of us is to come with that singular eye, with that sincere heart, and that sincere heart issuing forth in the practices that God Himself has called for, not pretended ordinances, but the ordinances of God Himself. And thus ends the reading then of Amos chapter 5. Let's stand.